I interviewed her. I think it's the 20th, right? The last time we talked, we were still talking about your years at North American, and I was trying to figure out, do you remember about how old your children were when you stopped working at North America?
Well, one of my sons was in the service. He must have been 17, and he joined up when he was 17.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I had a sign for him. And then the oldest boy, he must have been 19, and 17, and the youngest one was about 14.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Okay, and how old had they been when you came out to California?
When I first came out in 43, well, my son, the oldest one, just got out of the hospital, and he was 13, the other one 12, and the other one 15. No, there's 3 years between the youngest one and the second one.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be 13, 12, and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
9, 3.
So you were at North American then about, you told me before, about how many years?
Well, I worked there. I believe it was, I either worked there, but I know I was in California for 5.5 years, and I worked most of that time up at North America.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, yeah. There and the Camp Anza.
Mm-hmm.
See.
And did you work anywhere in California after North America?
No.
Uh-huh.
No. Oh, wait a minute. No, I don't think so.
So I was thinking,
no, because then I went home because after the war and everything, and I got laid off, and I went home because my father was going blind and my mother wasn't very well. So I went home, and then when I got home, I got an apartment right next door to them, and so I was with them all the time. But then the place was sold, and of course, in the meantime, I was working at the donut place, and then I worked at the dry cleaning place, you know, when I get through at the donut place, and then when my mother had her eye operation, I was working at the dry cleaning, and I had to quit then so I could help her. See, I had to put drops in her eyes and everything, and she couldn't do it, and then my father wasn't very well. So then when we the place was sold, we moved right down a few blocks from where we were living in North Weymouth, and I moved in with them. So and I stayed with them until I passed away. So I had them for about 10 years, you know, I've been taking care of them. Yeah.
Now when, okay, you came to California in the during the war, and the layoff at North American, if it was like the other aircraft plants, I think it was probably in 45.
Yeah.
Do you remember that layoff and how what was happening then? Or?
Well, as I say, the women got laid off first, and then some of the men, I believe, got laid off, too, because they did have an awful crowd down there, and of course, they couldn't use them all, because they had a lot of extra help, you know, during the war. And that was that. But it was nice working there. I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Now, did you kept working on the windows?
Yeah, for the plane, the windows, and I worked on making the helmets for the pilots, and then I also did reinforcement on the canopies. See, they were made out of, fiberglass, the insides of the planes, and, and I used to have to take this stuff and we'd mix it up with, something like a resin, you'd have to mix it up with something else, and then you'd have to take these strips mm-hmm. of fiberglass mm-hmm. and stick them in this solution.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to put it on that and then keep brushing it to make it come out level so there's no bubbles in it. Because
mm-hmm.
if there's bubbles in it, we'd have to take one of these needles like they have to give you injections and everything
mm-hmm.
and fix it so the bubbles would come out. And that would make that stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we'd have to put all three or four layers on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you, now, were there a lot of fumes or anything else of this stuff?
Well, no, if you're not enclosed in it. But one day I was repairing one,
mm-hmm.
and I was underneath it. And, of course, you're not supposed to be, but that's the only way I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost passed out. And somebody saw me, you know, laying there, and they pulled me out.
Mm-hmm.
And if they hadn't, I would have passed out. It made me deathly sick.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, was that just from something that was in the mixture?
It was, yes. It's the stuff that you use, see. And you're supposed to be in an open area.
Mm-hmm.
But, see, this canopy was on top of something, and I had to lay like on the floor, so I could fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was too much for me.
Yeah.
See, I couldn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not supposed to do that, but that was the only way I could do it.
Yeah.
So I did, but I get out of it. If they took me out, you know, and then mm-hmm. I was all right when I got into the air.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Were you ever injured on the job?
No, not there.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
The only place I've ever heard was up in that leatherette place when mm-hmm. I lost my finger.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now, so when you work there, you told me before that you were in this department with these other women that worked around you. Did, was there...
Well, there was two girls and myself would work together
uh-huh.
on one canopy.
Uh-huh.
See, another girl and myself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you get to know them very well?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. But to tell you the truth, I can't think of their names now, but
well,
we were very friendly and everything,
uh-huh.
you know. And we all ate lunch together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So did you, were you able to talk to each other while you were working?
Or? Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, when we had a chance to talk, of course we're busy, or she might be on one side of the canopy and I'd be in another.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd get along, you know, talk, or she needed help, or if I needed help,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I had to get something,
mm-hmm.
she'd get it for me. Or,
mm-hmm.
You know, we'd work together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice.
Yeah.
It was something different,
uh-huh.
you know, because I'd never worked on planes before.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was really interesting, and as I said before, everybody was very nice,
mm-hmm.
very nice to work with.
How did you feel about the work you were doing?
Well, I liked it. It was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was something different, you know, and it was for a good cause, you know, I mean, helping to do things to help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In what kinds of ways was it different? I mean, did it...
Well, it was different because I was working in different material
mm-hmm.
and working in this fiberglass and everything, which I'd never done before. I never even heard of it until
mm-hmm.
I went there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if I was too close to the fiberglass when they'd be working on it, it would affect me, you know, I'd kind of break out or something. Because if that gets in under your skin or anything, you know, you can break out. That's like that working in a gunpowder place when I got that petrol poison.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was working with the gunpowder.
Mm-hmm.
And all you could get was the fumes of the gunpowder
mm-hmm.
and everything. And then that was it. It made me awful sick.
Mm.
Yeah.
So with the fiberglass, it just would make your skin itch and stuff?
Itching, yeah,
mm-hmm.
itch, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it would go away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I was away from that, I would be all right.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when I was around and just from the powder that comes from it when you cut it
mm-hmm.
or you sand it.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's in the air
mm-hmm.
and it flies around and, of course, it'll get in where people are working.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I didn't have to work in there too much.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Did you, you talked before about laying on the layers of resin and
yeah.
Did, was there, and you talked about sort of working and watching for bubbles and things, did you
yeah.
feel, a need or any kind of pressure, anything about doing things just right?
Well, of course I wanted to do things right, but it wasn't too much of a pressure, no.
Mm-hmm.
It was easy work,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you get on to it, it's very easy, no.
Mm-hmm.
No complications or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was nice.
Mm-hmm.
I just liked it. Of course, we'd have to wear rubber gloves because that's resin and everything
mm-hmm.
that make your hands sticky.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, sometimes it gets sticky, you can't get that stuff off
yeah.
unless you use, I think it's Prestone, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I have some here that I get because I got it to clean my paint brushes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day I was working on something and my fingers were all stuck up, so I had to use that and it took
mm-hmm.
it right off.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At work you would wear rubber gloves and what other kinds of
Wore a slacks
mm-hmm.
and a blouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you have to wear anything around your hair?
Oh, well, we generally wore over a cap.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we didn't. It all depends on, I guess, the work we're doing. If we're working around machinery or anything,
mm-hmm.
because in case our hair got caught in the rope or anything, you know, the straps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But outside of that, we didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You mentioned, I think, the last time we talked, that at North American there was a women's, like a counselor? Or?
Well, I was a shop steward.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's right. You were the shop steward. Was there anyone else who was there, like, for the company side, a woman or anything?
Oh, well, they had men, too,
mm-hmm.
that were stewards.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was in the union, well, then they put me as a shop steward,
mm-hmm.
the shop steward. And I'd have to go around and look, you know, for safety things. If there's anything wasn't just right,
mm-hmm.
well, I'd have to notify the manager or the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Or even into the union, and they'd see that it was fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, did when you were doing that, did you end up mainly, were you working mainly with the women, or with women and men?
Women and men.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did the men seem to feel about you being the steward?
Oh, well, they didn't mind it. They liked it. They felt bad because they couldn't get as many members as I did. They want to know what I said or what I did. He said, I've gone to the same people you have, and they turn me down, and you go and talk with them, and they join up.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, I did the same as I did when I joined. I got you to join up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why, but I got more members than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did, when you were... During the war, when you're working there, was your salary any better than what you had been making at other jobs? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the shipyard and North American were the best paying jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't remember how much it was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know it was over $50 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It was around maybe $70 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I forget. But it was good pay. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah. It was good money.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did it seem much higher to you than what you'd been earning before at your other jobs? Or do you remember at the time feeling?
Oh, yeah. It was much better. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I could do more then, you know. I could buy things for the kids and everything. And
mm-hmm.
I get along much better. Of course, then I was paying, I was on my own then, paying for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was much better. Much better than $5 a week when I first started in World War I. Mm-hmm. I got $5 a week, and I gave it to my mother, and she gave me 50 cents for spending money.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that day, 50 cents was a lot of money. 50 cents today isn't worth anything.
Well, when during the war, you mentioned that the kinds of things that you spent your money on were... you were then paying for your own housing and
food.
Did you have any left over?
Well, not too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just a few dollars. I'd have enough to carry me, you know, from week to week. And sometimes, of course, if I didn't have any bills or anything, I could put away a few dollars. But if I had bills or the kids needed anything, if I needed anything, well, then it would go in that. So, yeah. But it was much better than it was during the war, the first war.
Mm-hmm.
That was tough. No. See, I was only a kid then, 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I was about 14 when it first started.
During the first war.
Yeah.
Now, during World War II, when you were working at North American, did you have any plans for the money you were making? Or?
No. Because I didn't make that too much, you know. But, of course, then when my kids grew up and were married, well, that was different, you know. Whatever I had was my own, and I could save a few dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But during the war, they were still young enough where you still had them, and I guess they were in high school.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, no, they didn't go to high school. Because the one that was 17, soon as... he got out of, I think he went, it was in Banning and a school down there in Torrance. It was like right close to Torrance. And he wanted to go in the service, so I signed for him. He was only 17.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent 5.5 years in the service. He was in the Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but at 17, he would have been, did he graduate from high school at 17?
Yeah, around 16, 17, like that, yeah. I know he just got out of grammar school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the younger ones, though, they were still...
The younger one was still going to school, and the oldest one, he had got married.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. He got married when he was about, I don't know, 18, 19, to some girl in California.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that they were...
So then I only had the youngest one.
Uh-huh.
And he was about 14, 15, see, and he went to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took very sick when I was working at North American. And one of my bosses says, I wish you would go on a vacation or quit or do something. He said, I know you're sick. I used to be so sick that I could hardly stand up, and I'd be working on the canopies, and I'd just be laying over on them, you know. I was so sick. So then I had to take a rest, and my youngest boy, he quit school. And he hated to because he loved school, but he thought if he could get a job, he could help me.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did. And then after a while, I went back to work again. I was feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
And he was still working then. And then afterwards, and when I got laid off, well, then we went back to Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, when you got sick, what was wrong?
Oh, I don't know whether it was I was just run down or what, but I was very sick.
Mm-hmm.
And there was too much. And see, you know what I did? We're supposed to take a vacation every year, and you get paid for it. But I wanted to continue working, so I did. But it was too much.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have done it. But I just wanted to work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So... and that was that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back to Massachusetts and That was
so you had gotten, you think, just real run down working?
Yeah, I was run down, and it could have been that. That's all I could think of.
Mm-hmm.
But I really got so sick. I was lifeless. I really couldn't do anything. And the boss would say, oh, I wish you'd take a vacation or do something.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I did, I didn't realize how bad I was until I sat resting. And my God, all I did was sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I was sleeping all the time. And that did me good. So when I went back to work, I felt much better, you know. And I could carry on again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How many hours had you been working around the time?
Oh, about 8 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you also then had at home, you'd come home and...
Yeah, but the kids would help with the...
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was the youngest one, and he was the only one at home, but he was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a car, and so he could take me shopping and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so one time he had the car out, and I don't know what happened, but he ran into a post,
mm-hmm.
and they were going to take his license away.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was only young, you know, although he was a good driver, so when we went down to the registry about it and everything,
mm-hmm.
and they found out that I had been sick and I had no transportation, you know, or anything to go to the store. So he let him have it back again, so that was all right.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have any more trouble after that.
Yeah. Now, I was just trying to get, what years were your sons born in?
1930.
For the oldest one.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And 31 for the second one,
mm-hmm.
and 34 for the youngest one.
Mm-hmm. So, I was just thinking that, okay, so he was, all right, you're saying he was 14, and he was the only one at home in
yeah.
around 1945.
Yeah.
And so the other boys had moved out. And
oh, the other one was still in the service, and the oldest one was married,
uh-huh.
and he was living down close to where I was living, him and his wife.
Mm-hmm. Was he working or?
Yeah, I forget what he was doing though. He was doing some kind of work.
Uh-huh.
But I can't think what it was.
Mhm. But so it's just you and the youngest son.
Yeah.
That were
at home.
Then.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, did you have any problems? Well, of course he was. By then, 14, he was pretty much taking
care of himself. Oh, yeah.
Himself,
yeah, he took care of himself. No,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'd be home from work at, around 4:30 or something
mm-hmm.
like that. I think we worked up until about 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Worked from 7 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
About 3:30, I think it was. 4 o'clock, somewhere around that.
Mm-hmm. Did you, working at this job, since you were your sole support,
yeah,
you were supporting yourself,
yeah,
did you think of it as a job that would last?
Oh, at the North American?
Mm-hmm.
No, well, because I really figured that when the war was over,
mm-hmm.
why then they would get rid of the women. Because they wouldn't need them. I had an idea it would be, but I worked longer than I really thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then they hate to lay us off because we're good workers, but then there was nothing for us to do, see?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then when I went from there, I went to Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stayed there and... I came out one time for a visit. When I came out with my brother and his wife, they were going to visit their son down in Redondo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was staying with my son, the one that's married. He was living out here, so I stayed with them, and then I had to go back.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a phone call saying that my father was dying and I had to go back. But when I get back, it wasn't so. my sister and my granddaughter's husband called me and said that my father was dying and to get home right away. So I left my brother and sister, and I had the money to come home. They helped me with the money to come home. I had to fly home, and when I get home, my youngest son there, he was married, and he and his wife came down to pick me up at the airport. And she told me, she said, Ma, she said, it was a big mistake. She said, if I had known it, I'd have let you know and told you not to come. But she said, you was already on the way when I found it out. And she gave her daughter the devil, you know. And her daughter didn't have so much blame for it, but the other one did. They just didn't want me to be out here. I guess they just didn't want to stay and take care of my father. Mm-hmm. So anyway, when I got home that night, my father was in bed, and it was about 10:30, and I went in to tell him I was home. Oh, he got up out of bed, and he hugged me and kissed me. He said, oh, I'm glad to see you back. So I said, how are you? He said, well, I'm fine. He said, I'm better now that you're here. So the next day I called the doctor to have him examined to see if he was all right, because my sister told me that he was dying. So the doctor came down, and my father saw him come in. And of course, he couldn't see very good, and he didn't know who he was. He said, who's that? And I told him, Dr. Smith. And at first, the doctor said, Dr. Smith, and my father didn't hear him. So I went over, and I talked to him. I said, it's Dr. Smith. He said, well, I don't know what he's here for. He said, there's nothing wrong with me. So the doctor examined him, and he said that my father was in better condition than either he or I was. And when I told him what my sister then said, he thought that was terrible. He said there was nothing wrong with your father, and they should never have done it. But I guess it was, they just didn't want me to have a good time. So, and then I stayed there. And then my father passed away in 76, and my mother passed away in January. Christmas Eve in 73, my father in January of 76. So I stayed with them until my father died.
But before that, when you were, before you had gone back out to take care of them, when you were in California, let me get this over.